All right, open your Bibles this morning to the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 2 for the message this morning. What a tremendous blessing that program was. Thank you, choir and orchestra and color guard. Thank you so much. And real blessing to my heart was to see one of our bus kids in the color guard this morning. What an encouragement that is. I tell you, folks, we thank God for every soul that looks to the Lord and gets saved. Thank God for every one of them. But there's just something special that triggers my heart to rejoice when you see one of these bus kids responding to the gospel and wanting to do right and serve the Lord. It's an encouragement to my heart. All right, Jeremiah chapter 2 for the message this morning. And I will begin reading in verse 9. Verse 9, if you will follow along. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack there in front of you. You may feel free to use it. Verse 9, wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be any such a thing. And you say, well, Pastor, what in the world does that mean? Well, basically, God is saying to the folks, you can go anywhere. Go anywhere around this world and see if you can find anybody who is doing what Israel, what Judah was doing. You go see if there be such a thing anywhere else. Go see if you can find anybody else that's doing what Judah's doing. You say, well, what were they doing? Well, look at verse 11 and he'll explain it to you. In verse 11, we read, hath a nation changed their gods? Hath a nation changed their gods? Would you just let that sink into you? Which are yet no gods. But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. Now here's my text verse. For my people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And number two, have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Well, let me ask you something, folks. Which would you rather have? A fountain of water that is flowing out of the ground, constant supply, fresh, cold, that never runs dry? Or would you rather have a rain barrel that catches the water that comes out of the sky through the rain or the snow? Which would you rather have? Which would be more dependable? Which would be better? Which would taste better? which would be more dependable? Yeah, you'd rather have the fountain of living water, wouldn't you? And so here is Judah, and basically God is giving his indictment against them through the prophet Jeremiah. Now, I have said from this pulpit many, many times that the only thing that we ever learn from history is that we don't ever learn anything from history. And that's pretty much the truth. And what had happened here in Judah parallels, I think, very clearly to what is happening in our world today and with our country today. I will go into that in just a moment. But as I was thinking about today and being Veterans Day and thinking about what to preach this morning, I read Jeremiah chapter 2 and I thought, wow, looky there. What they tried to do during Jeremiah's day, which ended up bringing judgment upon them, the judgment of God, what they tried to do didn't work. It didn't work. And I just thought to myself, you know, what they're trying to do today in America is not working. And I thought, history is just repeating itself. And so it is very clear that the only thing that we ever learn from history is that we don't ever learn anything from history. Let's pray together, and then I want you to keep your Bible open to this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to speak to you this morning a message I've entitled, History Repeating Itself. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for the Bible, and I pray that you will bless this morning as we look at Jeremiah chapter 2, as we look at these verses which so clearly tells us your indictment against Judah, why you were angry, why you allowed and sent your judgment. And Lord, I pray that it will stir our hearts this morning and that we will leave here purposed and decided that we're going to follow the Bible and not follow the way of the world, that we're going to view things and look at things through your eyes instead of through the eyes of the world. And Lord, just speak to our hearts and draw each and every one of us into a closer walk of fellowship and trust and faith in you. Father, fill me with the Spirit of God this morning. Help me and enable me as I speak. But Father, I also pray that you will bless your people as they listen and give us ears to hear what thus saith the Lord. Bless us now, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the things that I have noticed in the last few years as we have looked very intently and intensely at the Old Testament scriptures in our church is just how Israel's past parallels with our present. In the last few years, as we have studied the second coming of Christ from the prophets, and as we have done on Wednesday nights, taking a different book of the Old Testament and breaking it down and learning the message of each individual book, one every Wednesday night for the last year, it occurred to me that the parallels between the nations of Israel and Judah, you remember by the time Jeremiah came on the scene as God's prophet, the nation had divided, and you had Judah to the south and Israel, the 10 northern tribes, to the north. And it occurred to me this week as I was praying about what to speak on today, that there are so many parallels in the decline of Israel with the decline of our country today. The ideology of liberalism is nothing new. You can go all the way back in the book of Genesis to the Tower of Babel, and you can see the principles and the ideology of liberalism expounded as the people in Babel said, "We don't want God, we're going to do our own thing." And they decided to turn their backs on God and abandon God and forsake God. And they ended up experiencing the wrath and the judgment of God when they did that. And liberalism and that ideology has been tried over and over and over and over throughout history, and every single time it's been tried, it has failed. Every time. It never works. It has always failed in the past, and it will always fail in the future. Liberalism never works. Liberalism leads to socialism, which is a centralized authority, a centralized authoritarian few making decisions that control the masses. That's liberalism. People have, I think, innately built into them a desire for freedom. We all want to be free. And when the government, no matter what government it is, controlled by liberal ideology, tightens down on its grip, then the people rebel, and ultimately people die. That has happened just in the last century multiple times. And I am very concerned that it can happen again as America continues its experiment with progressive liberalism. Let me remind you that just in the last century, Mao Zedong killed millions of Chinese people. Let me remind you that Stalin killed millions of Russian citizens. Let me remind you that Castro killed tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of his own citizens in Cuba. Let me remind you, in the last century, Pol Pot killed millions in Southeast Asia. You say, well, Pastor, that won't happen here in America. Really? I dare say they never thought it could happen in China either. Can I remind you that since Roe versus Wade was approved by the United States Supreme Court, 55 million innocent babies have been murdered in the womb, all in the name of progressive liberalism. Don't tell me it can't happen here. Whether it happens with malice in the heart, like it did with Stalin and Mao and Castro and all the rest, or whether it happens with a stamp of legality all over it, it's still murder. And people are losing their lives. Liberalism always ends the same way, folks. And that's with people dying. Back in the Old Testament, in this passage of Scripture, when liberalism was tried by Judah, it ended badly for the Jews. And we have an entire book written by Jeremiah, one of the largest books in the Old Testament. A man called of God to be God's prophet and to come and speak on God's behalf to warn Judah, don't go this route. Don't follow this path. It's not going to end pretty. And he watched it coming. He warned the people. They laughed at him. They cursed him. They rejected his pleas. They ended up throwing him in prison and hated him with a passion. And Jeremiah ultimately had to just stand quietly and watch his warnings ignored while destruction fell upon his beloved city of Jerusalem. It's not difficult to conceive any situation any more painful than that of a great man condemned to watch the lingering agony of his own people as it day after day slips further and further into despair. And folks, is that not kind of how we feel as we watch what is happening to our beloved nation? These liberals have destroyed our economy with thousands upon thousands of rules and regulations just in the last 5 years. Over 2 million jobs have been completely wiped out in the last 5 years. We have all experienced tax increases that they have to impose in order to pay for their redistribution of wealth. And it's only going to get worse. They've got to pay for this new healthcare monstrosity that they have shoved down our throats. The American people didn't want this. Not one Republican voted for it in either the House or the Senate. Not one. And Obama said, "You can put my name on it." I think we ought to say that regularly. If he wants this, we ought to give him credit for it. Obamacare. They got to pay for that. And you know how they're going to do it? Through taxes. Through raising the rates, which many people are finding out is happening. You say, "Well, I haven't raised my rates." That's probably because you get yours through your business, through your employer. And if you remember, he delayed by executive order, not through Congress. He delayed the corporate mandate, which means 1 year from October. So in other words, next October 2014, if you think the individual mandate and the last month has been a mess, just wait till October 2014. When your company, the people you work for, the business you work for, sends you a letter saying that your policy has been canceled. And just wait till you have to go to the exchanges and find out your health insurance is doubling and your out-of-pocket expenses are, in many cases, tripling. You think it's chaos now. Just wait until the corporate mandate kicks in. Amen. We're in trouble, folks. Gay marriage, abortions, the rise of Islam, the rain tax here in Maryland, isn't that special? Rain tax. And it just keeps coming at us with increasing speed. As bad as this one aspect of the rollout of Obamacare is, you just wait until the corporate mandate comes due next October. Our country's in trouble. I read just this morning that Benjamin Netanyahu, the president of Israel, has gotten word from our State Department through Lurch, Kerry, that Iran, they're going to lift the sanctions on Iran. Netanyahu cannot believe it. They are over there enriching uranium and have been saying for the last 10, 15 years that they are going to nuke Israel. And now this administration is going to lift the sanctions and allow Iran to trade with the rest of the world? The world's gone nuts, folks. What is it? I'll tell you what it is. It's liberal ideology. And why is this happening? Well, let's go to the Bible and find out. Lest you just think, well, that preacher sure is opinionated. Yeah, he is. Yep. I'll agree with that. But what's God say about this stuff? What does God say about Judah's liberalism? If we can find out what God thinks of Judah's liberalism, we can get a pretty good idea of what God thinks of our liberalism. So I want you to look at your Bible, and I think you'll see the parallels. And once you do, you will understand why what is happening here in America today is happening. Look at the text that I read to you a moment ago. Verse 13 is really a summary of the entire book of Jeremiah. It's a summary of his message. And there are two evils that God spoke to them concerning. Look at verse 13. Evil number one. They had forsaken the God of heaven. That was their first evil. That was their first bad decision. But this fundamental evil was the one which all other evils had sprung. They turned their backs on God. Every other evil that cursed them nationally, socially, and politically came from the fundamental evil that had gripped their hearts, which turned them away from the God that gave them their heritage. You mark it down, folks. When a nation turns its back on God, God turns away from that nation. And using poetic language, Jeremiah tells them that they had forsaken God, who was like a source of living water, running water, water that could and would sustain and strengthen and refresh them, but they turned their backs on their source of strength. There is nothing any more refreshing to a thirsty soul than a fountain of living water. And in poetic language, Jeremiah said to the people that you have turned away from God. Folks, is that not exactly what has happened to America over the last 100 years or so? Liberalism invaded our land back about 100 years ago. Like a cancer, it came in to America. You want to know where it started? It started in the churches. It started in the churches. And when that cancer came into the churches, like just like a cancer does to the human body, it just ate away the life of the church. It invaded seminaries and Bible colleges and just ruined them. And that gave rise back in the 50s and 60s to men rising up all over this nation and coming out of those denominations that had been infected by the cancer of liberalism. Men like John Rice, the founder of the Sword of the Lord. John Rice was in the Southern Baptist Convention, and when he saw what was going on and saw the liberalism that had crept into the seminaries and what these seminaries were graduating and sending out to pastor churches, John Rice said, I can't support that. And so they pulled out and became independent. Folks, that's what we are. We are independent. There is not a a board somewhere sitting in an office that makes the decisions about the Church of the Open Door. No, sir. Nobody in Dallas or nobody in Chicago or nobody in New York City writes a letter or picks up the phone and says, you must do this and you must do that. No, no, we govern ourselves as a local church. We are independent. We also identify ourselves as fundamental. What does that mean? That means we go by the book. We don't go by whatever is the latest book that somebody has written. Somebody asked me recently, so-and-so, why did they change their name? And I said, to identify with what they are. Well, for as long as I can remember, they were such and such a church, and now they've changed their name. Why do they do that? I said, because somebody wrote a new book. Somebody wrote a new book. It's that simple. Men like Lester Roloff and Lee Robertson and Beecham Vick and W.E. Dow and J. Frank Norris and many others pulled out of their conventions over this liberalism that was creeping in. And when they did, all over America, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches sprung up. Independent churches. That's how our church came into existence. Pastor Baker was faced with believing the Bible or following orders from denominational headquarters. And he decided he was going to follow the Bible. And so he left the church over in town that he was pastoring and by faith stepped over here with a handful of people, and the Church of the Open Door was established. You see, we didn't turn our backs on God. And you know, the amazing thing is, you can drive around this country today and you see these great big structures and you see a cross on the top of them and you see a sign out front that says church, and then you drive by, look in the door, and there's nobody there. Their parking lots are empty. And you scratch your head and say, why? And the answer is, liberalism is a cancer that destroys churches. And you see, 40 years ago, they got this little tuba squirt out of seminary who had wavy hair and a bright smile. And he came in and here were all the old folks that had given their lives and their savings to build that church. And this little tuba squirt came in there and said, we're not going to use this King James Bible anymore. So you just might as well go to the bookstore and get you a new version. And the next thing you know, Ichabod was written across the door. Dead as a doornail. Dry as cracker juice. Nothing going on in the services. Nobody gets saved. And they said, you know, Sunday night service, we don't need that. We don't need Wednesday night. We'll just hang on with our Sunday morning. Starting at 11 o'clock sharp and quitting at 12 o'clock dull. Amen. That's what happens when you forget God. That's what liberalism does. It gets you to forget God. Number two, look at your Bible. In the last part of that verse, the second evil that they did was they hewed them out new cisterns. Their first evil was to forsake God. Well, when you forsake the God of heaven, you have to put something in its place. Right? When you abandon God, you've got to put something in God's place. You see, folks, men still need water. So they built cisterns. Now, what does a cistern do? It collects water. It collects it. But notice that God says, they forsook me, but then built the cisterns. But God said they were broken cisterns and could not hold water. Now, what is the picture Jeremiah is trying to get us to see? In wonderfully clear poetic satire, the prophet describes what they had done as a people. The nation, as a nation, forsaking God, had instead given itself to their own word, to their own policy. They said, we're going to abandon God and His policy, and we're going to write our own policy. We're going to forsake this, and we're going to accept this. Their own policy, their own laws. Go back and read in Genesis at the Tower of Babel. That's exactly what they did. They didn't want God telling them what to do. Isn't it funny how history repeats itself? There is no darker page in all the history of Israel than this page right here in Jeremiah 2. Sad. And you know what's really sad is that Judah had the solemn warning of what had happened in the 10 northern tribes of Israel just 40 years before it happened to them. They saw what liberalism did up there. And now here's Jeremiah saying, hey, you're going the same direction and the same end result is coming. Judgment came from God to the north, and judgment is going to come to the south. You better not go that way. They had warning from God. They watched as God sent Hosea, one of their own. He was from Judah. And Judah watched as God sent Hosea up into Israel as a prophet and as his spokesman. And he warned Israel repeatedly, but they refused to listen to Hosea. And Judah watched as God's wrath and judgment fell upon them. God even warned Judah when he led Hosea to fire a warning shot. In Judah's direction, when Hosea said to Judah, Ephraim, which was Israel, Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. That was not saying that God was going to leave Ephraim alone. That was God telling Judah, you leave Ephraim alone. Don't you go up there and hold his hand. You're going to follow right in his same steps if you do. Their second evil, folks, was to build something with the intent of replacing God. That's what the cisterns were all about. And that's exactly what has taken place in our country today. The progressive liberals have invaded our education system from the kindergarten through the university and college buildings all over the world. All over the country. They have rewritten and changed our history. They have introduced in the new curriculum called Common Core their agenda. And Common Core, by the way, is in Carroll County. They have introduced their agenda, and the whole intent and the whole idea is to create a new generation of brainwashed, mind-numbed kids that have no idea who the God of heaven is. That's the whole idea behind it. So you make no mistake about this point. If you forsake God, you've got to replace Him. And what God is replaced with is liberal ideology, policy. And the policy that replaces God is always liberal humanism, where man is the center instead of God's word at the center. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're not going Common Core at Carroll Christian Schools. The American people have stood on the sidelines and watched this progress right in front of our eyes. We've watched a seminary sent their liberal graduates to fill the pulpits. And they threw out the Bible and they denied the fundamentals of the faith. And they killed the numbers and killed the offerings and dried up the baptistries. And then when the church was dead, they decided that they would take another direction. So they went out and invited the world to come into the church. Come as you are and bring in the music, the rock music. Bring in the world's music. Listen, you come as you are, and I'll guarantee you, you'll leave as you came. Amen. But they had to do something to try to keep the doors open. We watched as the Supreme Court acted in the 60s to get God out of the public schools. Well, they did it, and now here we are in our third generation since that decision, and how's that working out? Well, you got kids graduating from high school, can't read and write. I'd say that's not very good. You got metal detectors lining the doors. They don't know how to read and write, but they do know about global warming. They don't know a thing about the Constitution, but they know how unfair, about the unfair treatment that illegal aliens are getting in this nation. They have no idea who Patrick Henry was, but they know that coal-burning electricity plants are destroying life for the polar bears. They know all about that. What is this? I'll tell you what it is. It's progressive liberalism. And it is the religion of a broken cistern. And that the progressives have put in place of the God of the living waters. Today we celebrate Veterans Day and honor those men and women who served in our country's military to keep us free. Freedom comes from sacrifice. And folks, as long as God gives me breath and as long as God allows me to stay here, we will honor our military veterans. I don't care how politically incorrect it may be. And the sad thing is that just like Judah of old, we are watching a political force take us away from the living water and walk us over to a broken cistern, a cistern that will not hold water. Never has, and it never will. And that leads me to my last point. What is the lesson to be learned? You say, Pastor, what do we do? What's the lesson that we can learn here from Judah? History repeats itself. If it's doing the same thing today that it did to Judah back 2,500 years ago, what lesson are we to learn from this? Well, the lesson is clear. We are to learn to forget and forsake the fountain of living water means we're going to perish. You can't abandon God and expect everything to just keep going hunky-dory right along. There is a brain thrust behind this administration, the ideology behind this administration that knows exactly what they're doing. And what they are doing is forsaking every vestige of the God of heaven and implementing the policies of men and forcing them upon us. They nudge. And if that doesn't work, they push. And if that doesn't work, they shove. And if that doesn't work, they enforce. And that's what's coming. That's what's coming. And if you don't budge, then they cram their policy down your throat. Folks, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. And I don't apologize for it. We are no longer a free people. We're not. We're no longer free. And that's liberalism. And it never changes its approach. You see, they think they know what's best for you. They think you and I are too ignorant to know what's best for us. And so by executive order, by bypassing Congress, by abandoning the Constitution, they will create policy that will inevitably lead us to utopia. But it never works. This president has implemented over 750 executive orders bypassing Congress. Unprecedented. Nobody has even gotten close to that. Without one Republican vote, Nancy Pelosi said, we have to pass the bill before we find out what's in the bill. When she said that, I thought, what? What did she just say? We have to pass the bill to find out what's in the bill. And I remember sitting there listening to this and thinking, well, that'll never fly. But it did. Now it's law of the land. And Nancy, we're finding out what's in the bill. And it's not good. It's not good at all. I mean, amazing. And if you think it's bad now, wait till next October. Folks, a great history demands a great responsibility. Judah certainly had a great history. They were God's chosen people. Judah gave us David and Solomon and Josiah. Judah had the covenants and the service and the promises and the fathers and the Lord Jesus Christ. Any nation that had a great history has a great responsibility. But they forsook God. And when they did, they perished. To forget God and to forsake the fountains of living water, to forsake Jehovah, is to perish. And America better wake up and come crawling back to God in repentance. Obama is not God. Obama is not God. He and his crony ilk in Congress and on the Supreme Court and in the White House, they're broken cisterns. But just as it was in Judah, it is today. God is still speaking. I want you to know, folks, that all over this country, there are preachers who have been silenced due to threats from the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, that if you politic in your pulpit, we're going to take your tax-exempt status away. Well, I don't care. I really don't. You say, well, I care. Well, what would you rather have, freedom or the right to get a percentage back on what you give the church every year? I'd rather have freedom. And there's just a bunch of preachers, the offspring, so to speak, of these that pulled out of the liberalism back 50, 60 years ago. There's a small number of us, but all across this country, there are preachers, men called of God, who have just made up our minds that we're going to speak out on this stuff. It's our job to wake up and to shake the spiritual consciousness of America. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? And we need to wake up. God's still speaking. Jeremiah stood and he said, repent, folks. Sadly, they didn't, and the judgment of God fell. But God's still speaking today. Will America repent and come back to God? I hope so. But I doubted. I mean, we are so dependent now. We have been pushed and pushed and pushed and shoved and shoved and forced, and they've got us in this little box where they want us. They've got us where they want us. Now this health care thing, whew, it's a disaster and going to get worse. And so the point is, history just keeps repeating itself. It may be that we are at a place where the Lord says, Father, are they ever going to learn? And the father looks down at the son and says, no, they're not. Son, go get my children. Wouldn't that be nice? Just hear that trumpet sound, and up we go to meet him face to face. That's going to happen. I've got a friend, and he's scared to death at what's coming. He's a businessman. He's an investor. And he sees, he reads and understands. And he called me recently and he said, I am nervous. I said, why? And he told me why he was nervous. And he said, doesn't this bother you? And I said, what bothers me is that they're getting away with all of it. Well, aren't you worried? I said, worried? What do you mean worried? Well, aren't you afraid of what's going to happen? I said, I read in my Bible, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, what's that mean? I said, I understand that to mean I'm banking on the Lord coming back before we have to suffer. I hope I'm right. But I believe with all my heart the Lord's coming back. Could be today. Nothing preventing him from coming. And I say to you that for the sake of my children and my grandchildren and for the sake of you and your children and your grandchildren, I say what John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Man, folks, it's a mess. History is just repeating itself. And when you get to where the people would not listen to Jeremiah, what happened? Judgment. And now here we are, history just repeating itself. Same old ideology. There's nothing new under the sun. Same old ideology. History's just repeating itself. I think you better get your spiritual bags packed. The Lord is coming soon. I hope you're saved. I hope you're ready. Because only the saved are going to go up when he comes. I hope you've got your sins confessed. I hope you're under the blood. I hope you're doing what God wants you to do. Because, folks, history is repeating itself all over again.